This seance was recorded on the 13th of December, 1966.
Oh, girl. To see you.
It's not it, really.
Oh, you will.
Yes, thank you.
Where are you going for Christmas?
Oh, well, I shall be with friends, Mickey. Don't worry about me. Thank you.
You will?
Yes, yes.
Well, I don't like to think of people being on their own.
No. No,
I mean, Christmas is a time when people get together, ain't it?
Yes, of course it is. And what are you going to do on your side?
What am I going to do?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going away for a rest.
Are you?
Get out of it.
Oh, good. I see. You're sort of ascend
well,
to your
enough,
own...
Well, enough, ain't it?
Pardon?
I like to get away from the earth vibrations for
I'm
a while.
Sure you are, yes.
I get just a little bit weary sometimes.
Oh, do you? Okay, but think of all the good you're doing. By your life of service.
That's the only thing that keeps me going.
Yes. And we all love you.
Thank you. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas to you.
Hello. Happy Christmas.
Oh, hello, darling.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Been looking forward to Macy's today.
Good. So have I. Anything very special to tell me. Could you tell me about celebrations and festivals on the spirit side? Would that be a nice subject? Or have you thought of something special?
Well, I'm trying to think how one would begin to describe or depict a celebration or a festival, as you term it, in words.
Yes.
Of course, there are so many. According to the individuals concerned as to what they experience or what one would consider a festival. For one group of people would not necessarily be the same for another according to their evolution or lack of it.
Yes.
Of course you would have obviously many, many congregations of peoples on this side, particularly those who were thinking very much in the same kind of way as they did were on earth, who would have what you would term a Christian celebration, that is, they'd have religious services similar in concept to what you know as religious service on your side. In other words, so much depends on how far the individuals concerned have evolved.
Yes.
As to what sort of aspect of mind they bring themselves. In consequence, they would create for themselves accordingly. But an evolved state of beings whose minds were unfettered and free and able to experience to a fuller extent the joys and the beauties of this life without any strong views or ideas brought over from earth. In other words, those whose minds are open and free, their ideas would in consequence create a condition of life which by its very nature would bring celebrations of a kind very dissimilar to a Christian festival.
Yes.
You see, one of the first things I think we have to realize on this side is that so much that we've accepted and been taught is not strictly accurate.
Yes, of course.
This is in no way let me say, this in no way deprecates Christ.
No.
Or his teachings.
Of course not.
What one must divorce oneself from are the man-made ideas and the rituals and all the aspects and the trappings which have made Christ to a great extent unacceptable to many people. We must always remember that Christ himself was by his very nature a spiritual being, and that though he lived and worked in a material world, he was always striving for spiritual realization. But the church over the centuries has so built up this mythological aspect. I use the term mythological because although the church probably has never thought of it in that sense, they've always tried to preach, or at least they have assumed that they preach the living Christ, they've really created a mythical figure that is far removed from the original conception, the original individual or personality. Christ was a man, same as any other human being, but he had the power of the Spirit so strongly within himself that it was able to manifest itself in every possible conceivable way, unknown of before or since his time. But the Church has built up this peculiar figure, which in many instances has driven people away rather than drawn them to Christ. So, of course, the obvious thing is that on many of the spheres where Christ is still very much misinterpreted and misunderstood, you have what you would term Christian festivals. There are religious festivals very similar to what you know on earth, churches, great congregations of people worshipping and idolizing, bowing the knee, praying, singing.
Do they still do that in spirit?
There are many groups, I think I've mentioned this before, religious denominations or groups of people who still assume that their particular way is the right way, and their particular conception of Christ is the right conception. There are many peoples who, by their very nature and their very outlook and thought, still continue to bring around themselves this atmosphere. And after all, what is atmosphere but thought forces at work? People, by their thoughts, create the environment in which they exist. And, of course, if a person has very strong religious convictions, not necessarily Christian, he could well be a Buddhist or a Mohammedan, he will find himself in such a community of people where he will naturally be best at home, where he will be most comfortable, and for him, of course, it will be a form of paradise. That is the glory, I suppose, in a sense, of this world, this spiritual world in which we speak, that for every human being there is a niche, there is a place, there is a form, and I use the term form of paradise, for him or her. And there is no doubt about it that one may go through a whole, use a period of time, but one can go through a whole period of time anywhere where one is perfectly happy and yet living in a sense in a realm or condition of disillusionment.
Really? Of course, illusion.
Not disillusion. Yes, I see. And then, of course, gradually, very gradually, people begin to think more deeply, perhaps, more seriously. And they begin to question. And you see, the whole point is that there can be no real progress until man starts to question, until he starts to probe, until he starts to wonder if the possibility of his particular faith could be wrong.
You see,
so much has been added, as you well know, over the centuries, to the Christian teaching. So much has been added to the figure of Christ. Christ, I'm quite sure, right in this, Christ wanted to be accepted among men. He wanted to be accepted as a man, but a man who was driven by the power of the Holy Spirit, a man who came to show the path, the way, and the light that others might follow and emulate him. He didn't come to be revered as a god, or to create even a religion in the sense that a religion has been built up around him. He didn't come to found a religious order.
No.
As a matter of fact, in a sense, he was one who broke away from religion, orthodox religion. He began to see in his early youth the frailties of human nature. He began to see the faults in his own particular religious faith and belief in which he'd been brought up. And he realized that God was truly speaking to him and through him, that he was, in a sense, on a divine link with the Godhead, and that he had a work and a purpose, and that he realized that it wasn't in the physical or the material or the body, but it was in the mind and in the spirit. It is this power which is the divine power, which is by its very nature able to overcome all things, which would outlast all things. It was this force, this vital power, which mattered to him. It was this power that he used.
Yes. Now, what about the more progressed people, darling? Those who have grown out of those orthodox
customs? Well, of course, gradually, when one has begun to think seriously, begun to see Christ in the real light in which one would expect to see him, one would want to see him, one realizes that whole vistas of life lie ahead, and that all great teachers and prophets all had the same message, the same philosophy, the same teaching, fundamental truth behind all, and yet coming through different channels, but fundamentally the same. And so when man ceases to have this narrow concept and opens his mind and his whole being to truth, then he enters into a wider and more acceptable world, and he leaves behind all the religious barriers, and he enters into a world where there are festivals, not necessarily Christian, as you understand.
No, no.
And not necessarily because it's on earth Christmas time.
No.
But there are all manner of festivals in which music plays a very important
part.
Yes,
I thought it
great composers, of course, compose great works, which are performed by great orchestras, great soloists, great singers, create harmonious sounds and glorious sounds. But these are sounds, these are music, this is music which tells of the evolution of man, that tells of life itself and of many lives, and sometimes illustrations are given of individuals' lives. Sometimes an individual who has a desire to express himself will, by his own effort, create a music which will project not only the sound, but also visually will project in the atmosphere a picturization of events, past events in his or her life and evolution.
That must be very interesting.
You see, here when you listen in a great auditorium to great music, you are also able to visualize, as it were, to see on a vast natural screen, I suppose, you know, I can put this, picturization of the events, great events, appertaining to individuals and groups of individuals, group souls, different incarnations can be revealed. The whole history, if you like, of human life and endeavor is projected visually and audibly.
Yes.
I don't know how to explain this.
Oh, it's most interesting. What will you be doing for Christmas, dear?
Well, I shall hope to spend some time with you on Christmas Day.
Oh, really? Well, I should look forward to that. Yes. How shall I know? Is that bright light which I see so often, is it some part of you? I can't understand it.
Could well be.
This bright light, rather like a little diamond that follows
me
about.
Could well be, but I can't say for certain.
No.
I certainly make every effort to attract attention or to give you some impression or idea of my presence.
Yes.
But how it may manifest to you in a physical sense is not always possible to be sure.
Yeah.
But I'm quite convinced that you do quite often sense and feel, and though you may not see me with the physical eyes, I'm sure you see me in an inimitable air.
Yes. Yes. Are you being with your family too?
Yes. And we shall no doubt come together over what you term the Christmas period, not because necessarily it is Christmas as such.
No.
Because I suppose, well, we do, of course, desire to be together often, though we may not be together a lot, just occasionally we do. And, of course, there is this sort of realization which we draw from Earth of the getting together of Christmas, as families well do, and in consequence it has some sort of, I suppose, effect on us. I mean, for instance, many, many, many souls on this side, thousands upon thousands of souls do troop back to Earth, even though it's only temporary, just to see friends and loved ones, dear ones on Earth.
Like the idea of them trooping back,
and
then choose to be.
But it's only natural, particularly with those who haven't been over very long.
Yes, naturally.
I think those who are still very near Earth are very conscious of the thoughts of individuals on Earth, and especially at the Christmas period when normally they would have come together. And of course they like to feel that they are still part of the family, still part of the
yes.
interest in those whom they have left behind.
Of course.
There's a great linking up at Christmas.
If only people would realise that, it would take so much sorrow out of life, wouldn't it?
It would make such a vast difference.
Yes.
To take away this fear of death and this terrible sort of loneliness that so many people have. Of course, I know that there will always be a kind of physical loneliness when people are separated by so-called death, but when one has the inner realization and knowledge of this truth, it does give such comfort, it does help.
Yes.
And of course, that is a tragedy of your world, and so few understand and know of it. But of course, this time,
it's growing,
Christmas, yeah. it's worse for people, I suppose, who are bereft of those whom they love.
Yes.
If only they understood how near they are to them.
Yes. Poor little Mickey says he's going to have a rest. He sounds rather tired.
Well, no doubt the boy is tired. Coming back to Earth constantly must be very exhausting.
Yes. What does it feel like when you go back to your own vibration? After you leave here, for instance?
Well,
I suppose,
fortunately for us, we can soon shake off, as I suppose one would put it, the material effects. One soon loses the consciousness of material things. And after all, what draws us back is not so much the material aspect of the Earth life, but the love and affection of people who are still on Earth. And so we bring away from Earth not earthly thoughts and earthly things, but we bring away the realization of the love and affection of people still on Earth. And in consequence, it's not easy for us, not difficult for us to shake off the Earth conditions. The only people who perhaps do find difficulty in shaking off Earth conditions are people who are, by their very work and effort from this side, immersed in material things by constantly coming back. The guides, for instance, those who are highly evolved souls who devote so much time to helping in your world, it is difficult in a sense for them to throw off earthly thoughts and conditions because they become so immersed in trying to do something about it and help, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But for the ordinary person who just occasionally pops in to see you and see how you're getting on, and is only conscious, really, in the sense of the individual care, love, and affection of the person concerned, and not so overwhelmed or affected by material things, can invariably throw it off quite quickly.
Yes.
But for people whose sensitivity is such that they have, by their very nature, evolved and become developed beings, and who've worked for a constant number of years with earthly peoples, trying to influence and to guide and to uplift, to some extent, they must feel, and I'm sure they do feel, the evils of your world very intensely. And although you'd think that by their nature, the very nature of that being, highly evolved, that they would easily throw off these material things, it isn't necessarily so, because the more highly sensitive a person becomes, obviously the more difficult it is to throw off these vibrations.
Yes, I see that.
And of course, a lot of these people devote a lot of time to Earth.
Yes, but I understand that even the guides withdraw, don't they, Christmas time?
Oh yes, I was going to tell you, many of the guides of the great souls who work near Earth and with earthly souls do, at Christmas period, retire from the Earth and draw away. It's an opportunity to recharge themselves,
yes,
you might say,
yes,
with new vitality and power. Then they come back in the coming year, refreshed, to work again.
Yes. I think they're wonderful. I'm very fond of guides.
Well,
they're greatly under fire from some quarters.
You know you're very much guided and helped, and not only by me, but by many others.
Oh, my Egyptian, I'm sure, is very close to me.
But I just want you to know that at Christmas time I shall definitely be with you.
Yes.
On Christmas Day.
I look forward to that, darling.
And I want you to be happy.
Yes.
I expect you'll be a little lonely.
No, I think I'm joining some friends.
Well, I'm glad.
Yes.
But I shall be there.
Yes.
And I'll speak to you again in the new year.
Yes. Thank you for that lovely talk.
Bye-bye, my dear.
Goodbye.
Happy Christmas to
Happy
you, Mickey.
Happy Christmas to you.
Happy Christmas, Aunt Comica. Happy Christmas to you.
Oh, thank Bye-bye. You, Mickey. That was lovely. Bye-bye. I look forward to seeing you. Does he often sing?
No.